I cried my eyes out. I was just, I couldn't believe it. It was so unexpected. So, yeah.
And a local author launches her career with a successful first novel. This story was too good to pass up. A local author, raised in a cult and with only a sixth grade formal education, writes a novel. One of the most prestigious publishing houses picks it up, and it makes the New York Times bestseller list. The author is Taylor Stevens. The novel, The Informationist, it's about a young woman who lives on the edge of danger in pursuit of information.
Well, she puts herself in situations to acquire information that you can't just get. And she'll transform herself. She's a chameleon, so she'll transform herself into whatever she needs to be, whether it's male or female, or, as I joked once, she'll be a panda bear if that's what it takes to get the information, but often dangerous situations.
And even her name is somewhat androgynous. She is not androgynous in the book, but Vanessa...
Vanessa Michael Monroe, yes.
Sometimes she goes by Monroe, sometimes by Essa, sometimes by Michael.
Depending on who she's interacting with, yeah. I refer to her as Michael. Different people refer to her in whatever way they connect with her. But Michael was born in Africa, in Cameroon, to missionary parents who weren't expecting to have another child. And she was more or less left to run with the locals growing up. And she's rather estranged from her parents. And at a very young age, she moves herself into the arms of some of the underbelly of African, what goes on in Africa. So the story opens much, much later as an adult, and it takes us through the journey, the job that she's been assigned. We discover who she is and how she became who she is.
She's searching for someone. This takes her through dangerous situations. The thing that really got me is that they sound real. They sound like someone who knows these places, these little inlets, these places along the coast, these places through the jungle, even the architecture. This sounds like the story is told by someone who knows these places.
I have been to many of them.
Aha!
Not all of them. I did have to do some research just to make sure I got it right or spoke to people who'd been there. But yes, I did. I lived in Equatorial Guinea for a little over 2 years.
Tell us a little bit about your background and how you built a lot of the experiences that are the background for this book.
Well, my background is a little unusual for a novelist in that I was born and raised in an apocalyptic religious cult that took me around. That's where many of my world travels came from, was within the cult, moving from commune to commune. The environment didn't provide for education beyond sixth grade. In fact, we were forbidden in many instances from trying to pursue any education beyond that. It was considered a waste of time, and I was more or less child labor from a very young age up until my late teens and or early 20s. And so that's the background that I came from.
And then you left the cult approximately when?
29 when I left.
Okay. So that was a few years ago.
A few. It's been about 9 years. Yes, about 9 years.
Now, how did you, if with only a sixth grade education, how were you able to write a novel? I mean, this takes great skill and planning and knowledge of how to use language.
Well, I've always been a bit of a storyteller. Imagination was something of a survival mechanism for me growing up. And I did, from the grades 1 through 6, I did have sporadic access to public schools, which is where I discovered the joy of reading. Growing up, we did read a lot, but it was always cult propaganda. We weren't allowed access to books or novels or anything from the outside, with very, very few exceptions. So when I was much younger, I did try writing as an escape mechanism. My daydreams kind of grew and grew, and I tried to put them down in novel form, and that was a really bad idea because it was very much frowned upon to produce fiction. The cult leader was the only one who really had the authority to write something that someone else could read. So my books were taken and they were burned, and I was exorcised and told never to do it again. And there were other punishments that came too. But
well, that lesson obviously didn't stick.
Well, it did for a long time. Mm-hmm. I was terrified of creating fiction. We did write a bit growing up because we were required to produce on a regular basis self-analysis, I suppose you could say, of how we were becoming better people due to reading the cult leader's writings. And you got creative in finding ways to constantly learn something new. So you could call that creative writing, I suppose. But other than that, there was not a lot of writing.
How did you come up with a story for this?
Well, I wanted to find a way to talk about Africa. I wanted to find a way to bring these exotic locations to life for the readers. I was, again, not having had a lot of access to novels. When I did finally get a chance to read, I would buy books for a dollar at garage sales and what have you, and I discovered Robert Ludlum. And I was just, like, blown away by these stories that he would tell, because up until that point, most of the stuff that I read, which was cult writing, was very juvenile, very oversimplistic, take 15 pages just to say what could be said in a paragraph and never get to the point, and very boring. So to read something that was exciting and alive and took me to all these foreign locations was awesome. And I remember thinking, oh, I wish I could do this. And then I realized, wait a minute, I've lived in places just as exotic as all of this. And I always wanted to write, and I was never allowed to write. And I don't know what I'm going to do with my life anyway, because I'm starting from zero no matter what I decide to do. So I'm going to write a book.
But the thriller part of this, I'm assuming that didn't come from your life.
Well, no. Reading Ludlum, again, at the time, I didn't understand about genre, but I enjoyed these types of books. And so I figured, okay, I'm going to write something like these types of books, which it turns out are thrillers. So.
How did this book get into print? This is quite an accomplishment.
Well, I guess you could say one of the benefits of coming from nowhere and not knowing very much is you're very aware of your own ignorance. And I knew that I didn't know anything about publishing, and I didn't pretend to assume that I knew anything about it. So I spent a lot of time procrastinating with writing by researching the publishing industry. And I learned everything that I could by reading from people who'd been there and done that. I specifically searched out agent blogs, editor blogs, people who had an inside knowledge of the publishing industry to try and understand what I needed to do, what would be wanted from me, what I could expect, and so on and so forth. And I understood that you really shouldn't submit fiction or manuscript unless it's complete. So I waited until the book was as close as I could get it to being complete. And then I began the search for an agent, because in publishing, especially in publishing fiction, most of the large publishing houses, and maybe all of the large publishing houses, won't even look at a manuscript unless an editor has met you personally and asked you to send it to them, or unless you have an agent. Agents are essentially the gatekeepers. So I didn't know anybody in publishing, and I wasn't in a position where I could attend writers' conferences to personally meet agents and pitch my story, which is probably a good thing, because I think I do better in writing than I do trying to articulate something in speech. So I knew that really the only option I had was cold querying, you know, just from scratch. And so, again, I did my research. And I located online agents who were still accepting manuscripts, who accepted online submissions, who represented my genre, who were reputable, who had documented sales under their belt, and so on and so forth. And I queried them.
And someone said yes.
More than one person, actually.
Oh, congratulations on that. And then, so how long between the time you finished the manuscript and the time the book was published?
Very, very long time. I submitted to my agent, I believe we started talking in March of 2008. And she had some issues with some of the structure of the book, which, again, because I'm self-taught and I've never attended creative writing courses or anything like that, it was to be expected. She says they were very minor things, so I'll take her word for that. But she basically pointed out a few things that she felt that could be redone. And so I said, okay, fine. She's like, just take the summer. I mean, we're getting close to summer anyway, and nobody in publishing really works over the summer, so we won't even start submitting until after Labor Day. So I'm like, okay. People who aren't familiar with publishing don't realize how long everything takes. Like, it's so slow. So, you know, in any other industry, probably 6 months is just like, wait, we've already lost our opportunity, but publishing isn't like that. So I submitted the manuscript back to her after Labor Day, and she was very happy with it and was getting ready to take it out for submission to editors, and the economy crashed and publishing went belly up, just crazy turmoil, and she more or less pulled it off the market, and she told me we needed to wait. She said, I know it's hard, you know, you've already worked on it so long and you've already waited so long, but if we bring this out now, you will probably get rejected just because of the economic issues that we're dealing with right now, and you only get one shot. So I would recommend waiting. So I'm like, okay. That waiting turned into about a year. And when she did finally take it out again, my life situation had changed. I had gone through a divorce. It was probably one of the lowest periods of my life after leaving the cult. And that's saying something. So, you know, she called me with the news that Random House, Crown, which is a part of Random House, had offered me a 2-book contract. And I was just, I cried my eyes out. I couldn't believe it. It was so unexpected. So, yeah.
So this book number two.
There's actually, I have 3 books now. After the first two I was given, before the first one even went to press, the publisher gave me a contract on a 3rd book. So book 2 is complete and it's ready to go into the production process, and I'm currently working on the 3rd.
Can you tell us about them?
The second one, okay, they're called a trilogy because there are 3 books on contract, but each book can be read as a standalone. The second one it's a Michael Munro novel, and I use the background.
The second one also is?
Yes, all three of them.
All three, okay.
Mm-hmm. The second one is, I use the background of my life growing up in the Children of God as the theme that runs through the story, much the same way that I used Africa as the background for what happened in the first one, as a way to bring to life what it was like growing up. But again, it's fiction. It's a thriller. It's not 100% true to life, but it's probably the closest I'll ever get to writing an autobiography at the same time. And no, the characters in the book are not me. Just clarify that.
Wow. So when does the movie come out?
You know, I'm asked that so often. It's like one of those things I just have to laugh about. You know, there are authors who are mega best-selling authors who've got 15 titles under their belt in series of the same character who've never had movies made. So, you know, if it happens, it happens. I would be thrilled. But Hollywood is so difficult to break into.
And so hard to get things right. You have
Yes.
control with the book.
I do have creative control with the book, and if film gets done, I'll have zero control whatsoever.
Maybe you can get a small role in it.
That would be fun.
Taylor Stevens, best of luck to you, and thanks for talking to us. The story of the book, the story of you're getting it into print, your own story, it's all very fascinating. I hope you continue to write.
Well, thank you. I've enjoyed being here.
Taylor Stevens wrote The Informationist and lives in the Dallas area.